With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It was a weird week 15. We're already laughing before we even got started. If you had studs, you're probably pretty mad right about now. But if you had players that nobody ever thought of starting, you're probably crushing life right now. Let's break it all down. With me here is Pat Fitzmaurice. Find him on Twitter at Fitz_FFFitz. How was your football Sunday?
Mine was okay, Dan. I mean, I'm going to go out in a few leagues. I'm going to survive in a few leagues. So, it's break even about, but man, just what a weird capper to a weird week, a weird COVID-y week. And, fitting that things did not go according to the script in so many ways today.
Well, it's weird that we still have 5 games to go, including the one that's going on right now. And you will see my mood change dramatically depending on how the second quarter goes, because I'm in need of some monstrous Tom Brady performances here to move on in my leagues. First of all, Pat, I will ask, how's my pixels? How are the pixels right now? Are
you doing clear? Good. Clear as a bell, right, man.
We've had some blurriness issues if you're here with us on our live stream, which you should be here at youtube.com/fantasypros every single Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. We got a lot of people here who are upset in the comments about a lot of people letting them down. We'll get to all of them. Don't worry about it. But before we do, a couple of housekeeping items. First, reminder, we are giving away a signed Alvin Kamara jersey playing as we speak. All you got to do is be a subscriber to this YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest. That's it. That's the whole entry, piece of cake. And again, a signed Alvin Kamara jersey. Also, right after this, I'm going to record the kickoff, which today is going to be basically my thoughts on every single game, my big takeaways from every game. It's 10 to 15 minutes. It's waiting for you when you wake up. It gives you everything that I'm thinking about that day in fantasy football. So again, subscribe to that anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's the kickoff podcast. All right, Pat, are you ready to start with some trust or bust?
I am, but before we start, Dan, can I first wish Tabby Tagliere a happy birthday in case she's watching the live stream at the moment?
Of course. I had
happy
no
birthday,
idea.
Tabby,
you only turned 25 once. Tabby, enjoy it. I hope you live it up. But yeah, that is that's great. I did not know it was Tabby's birthday. That's an error on Dan. Happy birthday, Tabby. I hope you swing by as you often do.
Trust or bust.
All right, let's get to it, Pat. Trust or bust. We're going to do a couple of Bills here. We're going to start with Devin Singletary. Zach Moss was a healthy scratch in this one. 22 carries, 86 yards, and a touchdown, plus one catch for 10. 89 total yards last week against the Bucs, and that was a game that they really didn't even use him very much. You've got the Pats up next, Pat. I mean, Devin Singletary out here winning people weeks. Trust or bust.
We've gotten swerved so much on Devin Singletary this year, Dan. I'm going to go with trust right now because today he got a 92% snap share and had 95.7% of the running back touches for the Bills. I mean, that's a pretty golden opportunity share. And yeah, I mean, the Patriots are a tricky matchup, although I think they've given up. Coming into this week, they had given up the seventh most rushing yards in the league. They've only allowed seven TD runs, but they can be run on a little bit. And I think the Bills are maybe going to attack them a little more. I mean, we can't say the Bills are ever really looking to establish the run. That's not, you know, they've been very fickle with their running game all year. Yeah. So I still think he's going to be probably in the mid to low 20s, the sort of mid range to low end running back two next week. But I guess that qualifies as trust when there are no more buys and everyone's playing, right?
Yeah, especially for a guy like Singletary. And I'm with you, by the way. I think, number one, I wasn't that surprised that they leaned on the run a little bit in this game, because I think they, number one, they were big favorites, of course, but I think they needed to get right a little bit with that, because, you know, their offense clearly isn't working. So sort of establishing the run works. And look, Moss has been a healthy scratch two of the last three games now, so it does look like it is Singletary. So I'm willing to buy it here against the Patriots, where I think that's what they're going to want to try to do. So I'm with you. How about another Bill, though, here, Pat? And that's Gabriel Davis. Yates is doing cartwheels right now. He debated if he was going to start him in a league. He did. Five catches on seven targets for 85 yards and two touchdowns. He's got touchdowns in three straight games. There's no Emmanuel Sanders. I really, from everything I see, doesn't sound like Sanders is going to come back next week either. 15 targets over the last two games. Trust or bust, Gabriel Davis.
Yeah, kudos to Yates for starting him. And I know Gabriel Davis is going to help bounce me from one league. So, yeah, I mean, this guy is just a playmaker, Dan. Like, 2020 Gabriel Davis as a rookie, 7 TDs on 35 catches, 17.1 yards a catch, and 9.7 yards per target. Those are numbers that scream playmaker. This year, 6 touchdowns on 29 catches, kind of on the same sort of, you know, high touchdown percentage pace, 16.2 yards per catch, and over 10 yards per target, 10.2. Dude's just a playmaker, and yeah, as you mentioned, probably pretty doubtful Sanders comes back next week, but the thing is, he's got that matchup against the Patriots staring us in the face. But
yeah,
I'm going to give it a tentative trust. I think he's going to be in somewhere in wide receiver three range, so probably, you know, if you play in a league where you have to start three receivers and have a flex, I think he's probably going to be in your lineup next week. I don't think he's going to get J.C. Jackson in the matchup. I think he's going to get Jalen Mills.
Right.
So that's a little bit softer matchup. I think Jackson is going to be on Diggs. I think he's playable next week. So another a double Buffalo trust.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll all go great for us next week for sure. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you. No, I agree. But again, because trust is a relative term, right? Trust sort of as like a wide receiver three, especially next week, low end. But I do think now, you know, with the four touchdowns over the last three games, this is somebody who basically has worked his way into being someone that we can basically trust. Pat, do you want any updates on what is happening in the game tonight at all?
Sure. Or
do you want to avoid it? All right.
I know updates.
We are both, as the commenters, people are commenting about it. Hopefully it is not serious, but Chris Godwin just took a pretty bad shot low after like his fourth or fifth catch, Pat, well on his way to your prop bet, which I also adopted as well. So anyway, fingers crossed there. We don't need any more injuries. All right, let's get to what everybody loves. I am confused by your opinion, sir.
I am confused by your opinion, sir.
We're just going to talk about Jeff Wilson, Pat, and this is more of a joke. Just because you and I were like all in on Jeff Wilson a couple of weeks, basically. And I messaged the analysts, all of us, you and Yates and Joe, and I said, it's time to rank Jeff Wilson well this week. And I gave you the Jerry Maguire GIF, and I said, who's coming with me? And I got crickets. Nobody wanted to come. You ranked him 30th. I was way, way higher than you, all the way up at 26th. So, like, I get it. But 21 carries, 110 yards with the touchdown, 2 catches for 9 yards through the air. Maybe Elijah Mitchell comes back. Maybe he doesn't, though, because he didn't sound particularly close right now, whether it's the concussion or the knee or anything like that. So what do you think about him going forward here, Pat? Assuming that Elijah Mitchell is out, is he a guy when we get the 35,000 start sit questions on him next week that you're going to be telling everybody to start?
Yeah, I think he is playable. Kind of a tricky matchup against a pretty good Tennessee run defense on Thursday. You would have to know that Mitchell is going to be out for sure. I don't think he's playable if Mitchell plays, but otherwise, man, I mean, he looked pretty good today. There was one drive where he just completely dominated things for them sort of late in the third quarter and ripped off probably about 40 yards worth of runs. Yeah, it all looked pretty good. It was weird, Dan. I mean, one of the things we were kind of hesitant about, I think, was the involvement of Debo in the running game. And Debo did have six carries, so he was, you know,
part of that. And another touchdown, of course.
Another touchdown run. But there was no Hasty. Really favorable game script in this one, too, obviously. After they got control of things sort of, you know, by what, late in the first quarter, early second, when they had things under control. It was a very run-friendly game script. So tentative trust. I don't know if he's going to be in running back two range for me next week against Tennessee. They defend the run pretty well. You know, we'll talk about that a little more later. But
yeah,
it's not the easiest matchup.
It's true. But on a Thursday, you know, who knows what's going to be. And they're not going to get blown out, at least by Tennessee, who really is lacking on the offensive playmaker side right now. But yeah, it's something where I wanted to rank him higher, Pat. I really did. But I was gun shy by what we saw. And, you know, he's not going to do much in the passing game, obviously.
Right.
And it does take special circumstances for them to basically want to lean into him. But it also does seem now a little bit like I'm coming around to the fact that maybe they really were just a little concerned about his health. And, you know, again, we talked about it that whole time, that first game, Pat, where how close he was to having a great game if Garoppolo didn't miss him in the end zone. And then last week, maybe they were just taking it easy with him because he did look good today. He ran well. And Atlanta isn't like a total pushover or anything like that. But again, when I saw Juszczyk score that first one and then Devo, and I was like, ah, man, this is going to be another one. But yeah, I think I'd be willing to roll with him probably in RB2 range.
Matchup recaps.
All right, let's get to the games, Pat. Let's start with last night because, frankly, it's almost like an extra bye week for us because so many games are pushed back to the next couple of days that we're light on games. So let's talk about last night. The Colts 27, the Patriots 17. Jonathan Taylor, 29 carries for 170 yards and a touchdown. And that is Jonathan Taylor. Probably should have fallen down, but fantasy managers will take it. Carson Wentz attempts just 12 passes. He completes 5 of them for 57 yards with the touchdown pass going to Nyheim Hines. Michael Pittman Jr., oh man, in your championship week, like a tough matchup. So he was ranked lower than usual. 5 targets, 1 catch, 7 yards, then got ejected. They've got the Cardinals up next, Pat. Did anything that happened in this game change your opinion on anyone on the Colts?
Not really. I mean, you have to be concerned about the Colts and their willingness to shut down the passing game when they get a lead. Like I was, as soon as they got that punt block touchdown to go up 14-0, I was concerned for Wentz and Pittman. Concern's the wrong word because I was going against Pittman in a playoff game. So I was kind of ecstatic because I figured the big game was pretty much off the table for Pittman. He already had a pretty tough matchup. He drew J.C. Jackson for most of the night. So, but you just know whenever the Colts get a lead like that, more than one score, they're running the ball. And they just hammered and hammered and hammered away with Jonathan Taylor all game. You know, and late in that game, if you're having Taylor, you're okay. Like, okay, I'm a little disappointed, but I can live with a mere 100-yard game. If you're playing against Taylor, you're probably kind of happy. Like, okay, you know, he got his 100 yards, but he hasn't really done anything. And then the big dagger at the end of the game, just, you know, if you had a Taylor, if Taylor's on your roster, that was just exactly what you needed. And it got you off to a really good start for the week.
Yeah. Kevin Cole, I forget what his name is, from PFF, who tweeted out something about how, you know, a quarter of Wentz's passes were deemed like interception worthy or something like that.
Oh, really?
To the point where, of course, they should lean on the run as they should. They should take it out of Wentz's hands. I will also say that I think Jonathan Taylor, back when Chris Johnson was at his apex, you know, Pat, in terms of production, I remember going against him in the league and a buddy had him, and randomly the Cardinals, who were terrible that year, were totally bottling him up the whole game. And he was texting me. He was like, wow, you're going to win this. You're going to pull this out unbelievably. And then like somewhere in the third quarter, Johnson busts off like a 90-yard touchdown. And I just texted him Chris Johnson with like 10 exclamation points. And it became us saying there are Chris Johnson players, which are, you will never feel comfortable against them ever. It doesn't matter until the game is over. You do not feel comfortable if you are going against them. And that is Jonathan Taylor, because at any given time, he is able to rock the house with that. But yeah, it was a bad game for him before that. And he was still, you know, perfectly serviceable. For the Pats, I mean, I recommended Ramondre Stevenson a lot, Pat, especially given the play your guys early, because we don't know what's happening with COVID. He really didn't come through here. 10 for 36, one catch for 4 yards. If Damien Harris is out next week again against Buffalo, Pat, how would you feel about Ramondre Stevenson as an option?
Still pretty good, actually. Buffalo can be a little soft against the run. I think they're easier to run on than to throw on. You know, it should have worked. It was game script got out of hand a little bit. So I think that's why Bolden played 38 snaps and Stevenson either 31 or 32. So that didn't work in his favor, but like the touches were okay. It's just the Colts did a really good job. They have a tough run defense to begin with. They were doing a lot of run blitzing.
Yeah.
Kind of trying to make Mac Jones beat them. And, you know, I don't know if Buffalo is going to play it that way. I'd still feel good about recommending Stevenson as a starter next week if Harris remains out with the hamstring injury.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. It was obviously disappointing. But again, it is kind of you trust that if he did have the same thing next week, he would be able to produce. Meanwhile, Mac Jones throws for 299 and two touchdowns, two interceptions. Both touchdowns go to Hunter Henry, 8 targets, 6 catches, 77 yards. Pat, does this change anything in your mind about Hunter Henry?
Still kind of high-end tight end two, I think. Just with Jonnu there, it's just you don't know what sort of target count you're going to see. He had fallen into this consistent 4 or 5 target a game range. And it's kind of tough to make your bones with 4 targets a game if you don't score touchdowns. And he was certainly doing that earlier in the season, went into a little bit of a TD drought. And now, you know, the floodgates are open again. So, I think it's sort of a situation where you've either kind of got your guy at tight end and it's either Henry or not, or you're sort of forced to have him be your guy. Like if you're deciding between him or Dawson Knox, I think you're still playing Knox. If you're deciding between him and Zach Ertz, you're still playing Ertz. But you know, if it's him and Jared Cook, yeah, man, roll out Hunter Henry.
And Kendrick Bourne and Jacoby Myers, both 44 yards. Anything to see here? Would you start either one of them whatsoever against Buffalo?
No, Myers tough matchup with Kenny Moore. And Myers is kind of a hard guy to start anyway. There's just no splash play potential. We know he doesn't score touchdowns. Well, rarely scores touchdowns.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think you're really looking to start any of the Patriot receivers.
All right, before we keep going, 75% of you, I think, at this point are probably out of your fantasy playoffs. There's, 4 teams left probably for most teams. But even if your fantasy season is over, you can still get your fantasy fix and even win some money by going to Prize Picks. It's so simple. Yates could even do it. Pick 2 to 5 players, decide if they're going to go over or under their stat projections. Plenty of stats to choose from. Yards, receptions, touchdowns, even fantasy points, whatever you want to do. And the more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times your amount. You can do multi-sport entries if you want. Go over on LeBron James's points and under on Patrick Mahomes' passing yards. Anything you want to do like that. Make your entries in less than a minute. It's got a 4.8 rating in the App Store. Take your game to a new level with Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% deposit match for up to $100. All right, Pat, let's live in the now. Let's get to today's games and let's start with the Bills that we just mentioned, 31 and the Panthers 14. We obviously already talked about Singletary and Gabriel Davis. Josh Allen, 19 for 34 for 210. He does throw 3 touchdowns. He has a pick. 2 of those touchdowns go to Gabriel Davis, as we said. The other one to Stephon Diggs, who's pretty much held in check otherwise. 7 targets, 4 catches, 35 yards. Nobody else really does much of anything. Dawson Knox, 5 targets, 4 catches, 38 yards. Cole Beasley, 4 catches, 35 yards. We already talked about how the Pats are up next. Other than Singletary and Davis, Pat, do you find anything here worthy of discussion?
Nothing much. Just the same safe floor for Stephon Diggs, but limited ceiling. That the ceiling was certainly not limited last year, but as JJ Zacharyson pointed out on Twitter this evening, the 25.5 PPR points that Gabriel Davis scored tonight. Diggs has only hit that number once this season.
Yeah, it's been a weird season for Diggs, right? Because he just has not had the, you know, ginormous, certainly not the yardage games or anything like that. But he's also not somebody who's hung you out to dry completely, right? Like right. ever. Like, he's giving you something every time. So he's sort of walked this very fine line between fantasy managers being kind of satisfied and also being really angry, which is the place I like to live as well when I give advice. For the Panthers, it's pretty ugly overall. Cam Newton, 18 of 38, 156 yards. With a touchdown to Amir Abdullah. He also rushes for 71 yards and a score. DJ Moore, 11 targets, 6 catches, 48 yards. He does get the 2-point conversion. Chuba Hubbard, 8 carries, 40 yards. The Bucs are on tap. I mean, I guess you start Moore as a high-end wide receiver 3, and that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, I mean, the 11 targets are good, I suppose, but with Cam just joining this team midstream, the passing game just sort of looks dysfunctional. And we see it with the yards per target. While Robbie has been inefficient all year, 3.6 yards per target for him today. But that sort of was contagious with DJ Moore, 4.4 yards per target for him. Just not a very good looking passing game at all. But Cam sort of saved a decent day for himself with a lot of running yards and a touchdown. So,
yeah. Yeah. Pat, how are my pixels?
Good. You're crystal clear. Yes.
That's all I care about. I like it. Stan. Worked it out. All right. Lions 30, Cardinals 12. Boy, survivor pools everywhere. Imagine surviving this long in your survivor pool only to lose on the Arizona Cardinals to the Detroit Lions. So this was the first game without DeAndre Hopkins, Pat. Kyler Murray was 23 of 41 for 257 yards and a touchdown and a pick. He ran for just 3 yards. The touchdown went to Christian Kirk. Huge game here. 12 targets, 9 catches, 94 yards with the touchdown. AJ Green, 4 catches for 64 yards. Zach Ertz sees 11 targets, just 6 catches, 74 yards. Rondale Moore, only 3 catches for 9 yards on 3 targets. It's not always going to be a negative game script here, Pat. It won't always be against the Lions, but what are your thoughts here on the passing options for the Cardinals going forward with the Colts and the Cowboys up next?
It looked pretty gross for them the entire day, and even a lot of that Christian Kirk production was pretty garbagey toward the end of the game when they were trailing and the Lions were, you know, content to not allow the big play and let the Cardinals catch passes in front of them. So I'm a little worried that the Colts have some corners who can cover. I think Christian Kirk is the only one I'd feel comfortable with. I just haven't felt real comfortable with AJ Green all season, and I felt like I was behind the curve on that, but I just he does not inspire confidence in me as far as having a safe floor every week.
Yeah, I agree to an extent. I don't know, man. I don't know what this game was, Pat. Like, I don't have it. Like, you know, usually I could be like, well, this happened. I don't know. And not like you can be like, well, DeAndre Hopkins wasn't there, so randomly they got totally blown out by the Lions or anything like that. I do feel comfortable with Kirk, even though, again, a lot of it was garbage time. I like the fact that Green saw obviously 8 targets, and I feel okay with him going forward. Like, I feel like I could recommend him as a wide receiver 3 like I did in this game, but I don't think the upside's really there. Ertz is a guy who I do think takes, like, it definitely gave him a little bit of a bump after Hopkins went out. And I think he showed why, at least with the 11 targets in this game. For the running backs, Pat, James Conner, 8 for 39 on the ground. He catches 2 passes for 31 yards through the air. Chase Edmonds, 6 carries for 53 yards, but no catches. I mean, they could run the ball in this game. They were just behind the whole time. What are your thoughts here going forward? We were talking, by the way, obviously, Pat, about like, oh, sometimes we ask each other like, hey, where do you guys rank X player this week? And I told you that I was ranking Conner. I said, I'm sure I'm going to be lower than consensus wherever I wind up with him, because I did think that Edmonds was going to factor in, and he did, but it's really, I think Conner would have had a perfectly fine game and justified his ECR had they not been well behind the whole game, you know?
Yeah. And I had Conner as a high end running back too, because I felt pretty good about his touchdown odds against Detroit, a game where you figured game script was going to be favorable. He's the goal line back. Detroit's been, you know, kind of bad against the run for most of the season. The other thing I well, So I think he's still pretty usable, at least as a running back too. I mean, now we see he's going to go back to splitting some work. So he's not going to be as immensely valuable as he was these last couple of weeks when he was the goal line guy, the pass catching guy. But I did find it interesting that he got two targets and Chase Edmonds only had one. So if Chase Edmonds isn't catching passes for you and he isn't the goal line back, yeah, it's going to be tough to start him, I think, in a week 16 or week 17 game.
Yeah, I'm not ready to draw two conclusions yet, just because, again, if Connor had gotten like five or six targets and Edmonds had gotten one, then I would have said something, but neither one of them really got. But Connor has been fantastic in the passing game, right? Like, he makes these circus catches at this point. So it does definitely make you a little worried, I think, as you go forward about Edmonds. For the Lions, I mean, you know, there was the talk about Jefferson maybe factoring in more. Last week he was sick or whatever. It's all Craig Reynolds, 26 for 112, plus a catch for five. I mean, I think we have to assume that DeAndre Swift or Jamal Williams is going to be back soon. They've got Atlanta and Seattle up next. Let's say he's available in your league, and let's say that neither Swift nor Williams were ready to come back. What would you think about Reynolds going forward?
I think you'd have to rank him as a running back too, with him getting a large share of the workload. I mean, Godwin Igwebuike was in for some plays. He was kind of the passing down guy, I think. But the other thing is that maybe running back two is too high. He'd be low end or whatever. Things just went so well as far as them sustaining their drives. Like, yeah, the Cardinals defense just could not get off the field. It was frustrating for them, I'm sure, that the Lions kept piecing together these like long drives. Their first drive in the first quarter was like 8-9 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the first quarter seemed like it was almost done by the time the Cardinals actually got the ball in their hands and then went three and out right away. And I think the Lions had another long drive after that. So it was just kind of crazy. But the thing is, Dan, like, even if, are they going to be, I don't see the motivation for them bringing back Swift.
Right.
And Jamal Williams, I mean, he's kind of a known commodity. They've got this UDFA who maybe they want to know if like they should give him another contract. You know, maybe they want to get a longer look at him in the last couple weeks of the season and knowing already that he can perform competently for them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just see coming across that now, in addition to Chris Godwin being banged up, Mike Evans apparently is doubtful to return now with a hamstring injury. So for everybody watching and needing a big performance from Brady, like, I know Godwin is jogging on the sideline, so hopefully he's okay. But we're missing some crazy stuff. Sorry to interrupt there for everybody. Yeah. So for the passing game though, Pat, this was interesting. I mean, Goff was great, 21 of 26 for 216 and three touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown really comes through, 11 targets, eight catches, 90 yards with the touchdown. Josh Reynolds catches all six of his targets for 68 yards and a touchdown. Can you start both these guys going forward, Pat?
I'm a little nervous about Reynolds. Again, everything just kind of went perfectly. I don't think the teams that are in the fantasy playoffs are probably going to be in a position where they need to start Reynolds. Amon-Ra, the sun god, a different story here, Dan. I mean, he had 11 targets today, but 10 of those were in the first half. You know, he kind of got taken out of it a little bit by the game script, but he could have had a mammoth game if the Cardinals could have forced the issue a little bit more in this.
Yeah.
And he looks really good. Like, he's going to be a good slot receiver. He's like, you know, Tyler Boyd plus. He is a player. So I think he's going to be flirting with wide receiver two range in week 16.
I agree with you. I'm very excited, man. It's so great to see. I loved him coming up. I thought it would be good, but I thought it was more long-term. This is fantastic to see him develop so quickly. And yeah, I think given his targets, God, I think you can have some pretty solid, you know, feel pretty good basically about starting him. Even in your fantasy playoffs, if you're still here, we're in the semis, I think you can start him with relative confidence. Before we move on, Pristine Auction. Okay, why do we talk about Pristine Auction all the time? Because it is awesome. Because we buy NFL items from there all the time. Go to Yates's house. It's like filled up. It could be its own Pristine Auction little store there. I'm telling you, if you go there, if you go to pristineauction.com, you're going to love it. I guarantee it. You're going to see thousands of items that you want to bid on. If you don't believe me, check it out. It is free to register. It's free to bid. You only pay if you win something. So it costs you nothing just to go on there and check it out. There are so many auctions, which means there are so many amazing prices because things slip through the cracks. Go to pristineauction.com. See for yourself, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. You want $5 in free credits. Use our code FANTASYBROS in the registration field when you sign up. They'll know we sent you. Again, pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYBROS. All right, Pat, I'm very happy you got to experience life as a Jets fan because you were rooting for them to win for a survivor pool that you were in. And I was going to spoil it for you early on in the game that they were not going to win that game. But they do lose 31-24 to the Dolphins. Let's start with the Dolphins, Pat. I said it last night when I was talking to you and Yates about Gaskin and that I was a little nervous just about, you know, coming off the COVID list. Who knows about his conditioning? They weren't preparing for him. He winds up with 10 carries for 54 yards. A lot of that was just kind of late. But Duke Johnson, I mean, 22 for 107 on the ground with two touchdowns. He adds a 20-yard catch. First time he's had a game like this ever. He never had 20 carries, never had a 100-yard game. It's the Saints next anyway, but any thoughts about this running game, what you think it might look like going into next week?
Oh, man, I think it's going to be a lot more Duke with spells of Gaskin. Selvon Ahmed was completely out of the mix. Lindsey was a scratch. So I think it's the Duke and Gaskin show. There have been people who have been Duke truthers and have felt that he could do this kind of thing if he were ever given the chance. And we know he never got it in Cleveland. You know, he was just always kind of pigeonholed as this passing down back. And he was a different kind of player when he was at the University of Miami. Maybe he was just feeling jazzed to be back in Miami, Dan, but he looked like kind of the old Hurricane Duke Johnson, just like physical too, unexpectedly physical today for, you know, he was giving people stiff arms today. Like,
yeah.
He looked pretty good and doing most of it on the ground and not as a pass catcher. So yeah, it's going to be a tougher matchup next week for sure. And yeah, like Gaskin is going to be used in stretches. So yep. I don't know how confident I'm going to feel about starting Duke next week. But it's an interesting development for sure. I think a lot of the people who rolled out Gaskin this week had to have a sick feeling when Duke took the first handoff to start the game.
So, that is correct. Yes. I was one of those people, and I blame Yates for it. But I will say that, you know, they do get the Saints next week, as I mentioned. So I think I'm going to be happy to have a reason to not recommend a Miami running back, which I think I will probably just avoid the entire situation next week. Meanwhile, Pat, if there was a pivot player today, it was probably Devontae Parker. I checked our internal rankings. I think I ranked him the lowest of any of the analysts, but I think I still had him at 19 or something like that. He does come through here, you know, not a huge game, looked big early on and then was quiet until the touchdown at the end. 8 targets, 4 catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown. Mike Gesicki, 5 catches for 43 yards, 2 throws for 196, and the 2 touchdowns, but 2 picks. I assume Jalen Waddle is going to be back next week, Pat, and I assume Parker will probably get Marshawn Lattimore, but all Parker has done this year, Pat, is produce whenever he's in the game. So let's say you've made it, you have Parker on your roster. Are you going to feel comfortable starting him next week?
With that Lattimore matchup, not comfortable. But he is going to be sort of on the borderline flex periphery. Maybe at like, I can see wide receiver 35-ish or so. If Waddle's back, I think if Waddle's not back, you just have to play him. But
yeah,
Waddle
for
most
sure
likely comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just looked good today. Like physically, he is just a physically imposing matchup for anyone who takes him on. He maybe could have had one touchdown where the throw wasn't real great by Tua. Tua had kind of an off day today.
Tua
was really terrible coming out of the gate in the first quarter with just an awful interception. And then, I forget who he had wide open. Albert Wilson, and just completely underthrew Albert Wilson on what should have been a big gainer. He was bad. But Parker, I don't know if Waddle's back, it's going to be kind of iffy next week against Lattimore.
Yeah. What's funny is that I recommended Tua in a lot of start sit questions. And even though he didn't have a particularly good game, he's almost certainly going to be better than the other options that people were asking about, right? Because like nobody, like Burrow and Taysom Hill, who isn't doing anything right now in this game, like those were the guys. And in the end, Tua gave you some points, but certainly was a little bit disappointing based on what I thought he might be able to do against the Jets. It was all Duke Johnson. What do you want? For the Jets, Michael Carter, I mean, he comes back. Everybody's excited, but Tevin Coleman's far more effective. 8 carries, 50 yards. Michael Carter just 8 carries, 18 yards. Jacksonville next, Pat. Would you start a Jets running back in that matchup?
Probably not. Probably not, just because we were lied to, Dan. We were told that Michael Carter was going to get a lot of work. Yeah. And he didn't get a lot of work. I mean, he did outsnap Tevin Coleman, but they had the same number of carries. And this offense, I mean, I kind of warned a couple people off Carter this week just because I felt like there wasn't going to be much touchdown opportunity with the Jets offense. And that right. was kind of the thing. They just, other than that first touchdown, the offense kind of went belly up after that. And it was just sort of ugly all the way around.
That's what it's like watching a Jets game, Pat. I thought you should know. Zach Wilson does throw for 170. He also sneaks in a touchdown. He also loses a fumble. Your leading receiver is Jameson Crowder with 40 yards. Braxton Berrios runs for a touchdown. Can we just ignore every other Jet? I mean, if you want to start anybody, it's got to be a running back. Other than that, ignore everybody.
Yep.
Yes.
Very good. You're not starting Braxton Berrios in a week 16 playoff game.
I mean, you might if you have the intestinal fortitude of a god. Cowboys 21, Giants 6. The Cowboys offense, Pat, it does not look great. Like it just, whether it's Dak or whether it's the offense as a whole, it does not look great. Dak throws for just 217 with the touchdown. He loses a fumble. The touchdown goes to Dalton Schultz, who has 8 targets, catches all of them for 67 yards. But CeeDee Lamb, 9 targets, 6 catches, 50 yards. Michael Gallup, 5 targets, 3 catches, 32 yards. He was open. There could have been a touchdown. Dak underthrew him on that one. Amari Cooper, 5 targets, 2 catches, 8 yards. Washington is next. That's good. But how confident are you in these pass catchers as fantasy options here?
I know. And this is horrible. And then they get this seemingly great matchup against Washington next week. I don't know what I'm going to do with Cooper in the rankings this week, Dan. We've seen him play. We know he's a terrific wide receiver, but it's just not happening for him all of a sudden.
We were all in the same range, by the way, Pat. I'm just looking at it. 18, 18, 18. Joe had him 20, yep. But I mean, we all had him right there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I have him in any leagues this year, but like, of course I would have started him this week. It would have been, and I don't think anyone watching this or listening to this should beat themselves up if they started Cooper and got skunked this week. Like, yeah. I don't think it was bad process to start Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I agree. Meanwhile, Zeke finds the end zone, but just 16 carries, 52 yards. He does add 3 catches for 20 yards. Tony Pollard was supposed to be limited. 12 carries, 74 yards on the ground, 3 catches, 13 yards through the air. Do you continue to roll out Zeke as an RB2 and Pollard as a flex going forward?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yep. I think that's even today with the news that Pollard might be a little limited, I was worried about putting Zeke, even though he has traditionally like stomped the Giants.
Yep.
No, not that people are paying attention to those long-term career trends, but it didn't surprise me to see him score a touchdown against the Giants, put it that way. But yeah, I think you got to keep him as a running back too.
Yeah, I agree. For the Giants, I mean, on the outset, noting that Sterling Shepard tore his Achilles, a really tough break for Shepard, who's battled injury all year long. Like that's part of the problem. Saquon, 15 for 50 on the ground. He does see 8 targets, catches 4 of them for 24 yards through the air. He does lose a fumble. Devontae Booker, 8 carries, 74 yards, 2 catches for 8 yards. If you made it past this week with Saquon Barkley on your roster, Pat, can you start him against the Eagles?
I think so, just because of volume. It's a volume play. I mean, it makes Barkley at least a flex, I think. 23 touches today and... yeah, only generating 74 yards with 23 touches is a little depressing, but I think you have to follow the volume.
Yeah, it's really disappointing at this point. You really just want to see him pop, and we're just getting to the point where it doesn't look like he's going to pop at all. Meanwhile, Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm, just terrible. They combined for 181 yards and 3 picks. Kenny Galladay winds up with 3 catches for 53 yards, but just kind of a toss-up ball there at the end. You continue to ignore all pass catchers on the Giants, Pat.
No, absolutely. You know,
very good.
If Kadarius Toney made a miracle comeback next week, like, I mean, he would be, I don't know if you're a big underdog or something, because he did flash superstar potential for two solid weeks, but that was way back in early October. So it would have to be a very deep league. You'd have to be a big underdog. Circumstances would have to be right. But no, I don't think you're starting any Giants pass catchers.
All right. Before we keep going, one thing we know is that we, you know, we can't plan for everything right now. This is what we've seen, obviously, in the world the past couple of years. Plans can be derailed. The unthinkable happens. That's why you want to make sure you are prepared with Air Medcare Network. If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance does not always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. So it basically pays for itself. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use the offer code Fantasy Pros no matter where you're at in the game of life. An Air Medcare Network membership is the protection that you should not live without. Steelers 19, Titans 13. You're not really happy if you start anyone in this game, Pat. For the Steelers, Najee Harris, 26 total yards on 14 touches. Deontay Johnson, 48 total yards. Chase Claypool, 19 total yards. You cracked the code. Thank you for that, of understanding how he did that with the receiving work without actually tallying an official reception. Pat Freiermuth has the second concussion in just a couple of weeks. So my guess is now, Pat, he's going to miss some time here with that. Ben throws for just 148 yards. He sneaks in the touchdown. Johnson and Harris had been uber reliable of late, Pat. Kansas City is next. Any concerns with either of those two?
With Harris, yes, because that offensive line is just so bad. I mean, until they fix that, I mean, I think there is maybe a worrisome floor with Harris. You know, and he really hadn't had one all year, but he's like not doing as much as he had earlier in the season as a pass catcher. And like, they just cannot run block anyone. And the Kansas City defense has been much improved of late. So I am worried about him for next week.
What about Chase Claypool, Pat? I mean, he's not always disappointing, but he disappoints more often than not at this point.
This game was just such an eyesore, Dan. Like, having all these screens in front of me and seeing that there was at least one really bad offensive team in every game, except this one, I'm like, well, maybe two functional offenses. And yeah, this was maybe the worst of the early games. It was just so hard to watch. And I thought the Steelers passing game was going to work. I mean, it looked really sharp at the end of that Minnesota game. Tennessee had given up more receiving yardage to wide receivers, almost 2,600 yards worth coming into today, more than any other team. And I thought this was just going to be a smash spot for Deontay Johnson. And I thought maybe Chase Claypool could have a decent game too. And they both tanked.
Yep. It was hard to watch for the most part. And on the other side, it wasn't that much better. Julio Jones leaves with a hamstring injury. I assume we've seen the last of him as a fantasy option, at least this year, if not going forward for good. But Deonta Foreman, Pat, I mean, he is the lone bright spot in this game. 22 for 108, plus two catches for 27 yards through the air. San Francisco's up next. Are you going to start him with confidence in that matchup?
I think so. He's pretty clearly the lead guy now, and Hilliard and McNichols sort of split backup duty. So I think you can play him fairly confidently going forward. And we know that Tennessee wants to run the ball. Like, they've got no choice. I mean, it's just kind of a dysfunctional passing game. It's kind of annoying that Ryan Tannehill gets calls his own number near the goal line quite a bit. I think that was his seventh rushing touchdown today. Yep. But still, yeah, like, we're pretty happy about Foreman. I know it was a soft matchup today against a Pittsburgh run defense we saw get absolutely shredded by Dalvin Cook in week 14. But nonetheless, I mean, I think the usage for Foreman is what we're looking at. And didn't he catch a couple of passes today? I think he did.
Yeah, two. He caught two.
Yeah. So like, that's a little bonus for a guy who, you know, was not known as a pass catcher coming out of college.
Yeah. I feel totally confident with him right now. I really do. Yep. And there, I mean, but other than that, you ignore the entire offense, right? I mean, without a, unless AJ Brown is back, obviously, but I haven't heard anything on that whatsoever. So I assume you just have, I mean, good thing Tannehill runs in the touchdowns, Pat. Otherwise he'd have absolutely no value, even in a super flex league at this point. But you ignore everybody except for Foreman, right?
Yeah, if Brown comes back, I think sure. he's probably got to be in your lineup. But
for like sure.
not Tannehill anymore. I don't think
no.
Tannehill's a starter.
No, I agree with you. Texans 30, Jaguars 16. I find it hilarious, and I think it sums up 2021 fantasy football, that I have the utmost confidence in Brandon Cooks so long as Davis Mills is the one throwing him the ball. 10 targets, 7 catches, 102 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The Chargers are up next, Pat. It's not the greatest matchup, but I mean, you are locking him in your starting lineup, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I feel so confident with him, and I have him in a lot of leagues, Pat, just because I felt like he was falling so far in drafts. And if you could have gotten by that, you know, middle of the season lull that he had, he's really coming through for you right now. And that's it for the Texans, as always. I swear that Rex Burkhead was essentially ruled out earlier in the week, Pat. Like, I thought that Cully actually said he's not going to play this week. Not only does he play, but he has by far the most touches of the running backs. He gains 47 yards total on 17 touches. But obviously, if you were in the playoffs, you are not starting a Houston running back, and you ignore everybody on the team other than Brandon Cooks, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
I love it. For the Jaguars.
Davis Mills in a 2-quarterback league, Dan.
Okay.
I had to start Davis Mills in a 2-quarterback playoff game today.
Oh,
I'm probably going to lose that game, but he doesn't suck. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with the quarterback position. Like, I don't think they're going to not go after someone in free agency or the draft because Davis Mills is there, but
right.
You know, at worst, I think maybe they'll give Davis Mills a chance to compete with someone, assuming it's not going to be a marquee. You know, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to the Texans. We know it's not going to be Deshaun Watson going back.
Right.
So, yeah, but Mills is not terrible. He can be at least a decent backup.
He's better than I expected. That's what I will say. I did not think that he would be able to really be effective in the NFL, especially not this year. But he's not overmatched, and he really right. hasn't been for much of the time that he's been here. For the Jaguars, we thought James Robinson would get a bigger workload. He did, 18 for 75 with the touchdown, 3 catches for 13 yards. He's got the Jets up next, Pat. He's going to be an RB1 in that matchup.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I love it. I love it. Pick on the Jets. Lawrence throws for 210. I even hate talking about Trevor Lawrence right now. I mean, James O'Shaughnessy, 4 for 60. Treadwell, 6 for 57. Chenault, 4 for 39. Marvin Jones, 3 for 13. Again, this is like the third team that we've said that with, but you basically like you start your one player from the team, James Robinson, and you ignore everybody else on that team, right?
Yeah. Who's the last quarterback to go a seven game stretch, starting and finishing with one touchdown pass? You'd have to go back to like the 40s or something, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know.
Somebody in the chat, do that research, find out for us right now who's here. I mean, we've got, you know, a couple hundred people here with us, so somebody do the research and figure that out. Yeah, it's bizarro world, right? I would be thinking about if I played in any 2-quarterback leagues and had him, how crazy frustrated I would be right now, because he's just in a super flex league, like you'd start any other position over him right now because he just offers absolutely nothing. It's crazy. Long term though, Pat, Trevor Lawrence, concerns? What do you think about his future?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I mean, I've got him in the Fantasy Pros Dynasty League. I'm a little concerned. I thought he was going to be terrific. You know, I did agree that he was probably the most complete quarterback prospect to come into the league since Andrew Luck. And there just have not been many signs of hope. But I do think he was probably set back a lot by having Urban Meyer be his head coach for the majority of his rookie year.
I think that's a very, very fair take, Pat. Bengals 15, Broncos 10. There's only one person on the Bengals who comes through for you, and it is Tyler Boyd. 6 targets, 5 catches, 96 yards, and the touchdown on that long 56-yard catch and run. Everyone else disappoints. Joe Mixon, 17 for 58 in the ground, 1 catch for 2 yards through the air. He leaves late with an injury. T. Higgins, 3 targets, 2 catches, 23 yards. Both of those came right off the bat and then did nothing for the rest of the game. Ja'Marr Chase, 4 targets, 1 catch, 3 yards. People are mad right now, Pat, in the chat about Ja'Marr Chase. So, I mean, is this just a bad day at the office or do we have major concerns?
Yeah, and Chase had a long one wiped out earlier. Yeah. Bad day at the office. Good group of cornerbacks in Denver. Ronald Darby, Patrick Surtain Jr., Bryce Callahan. Like, it's a tough group, and they won most of their battles today. I mean, like, Boyd did manage to, and I guess Boyd would have been matched up against Callahan. He did have that long catch and run where he basically made the catch and then made just a great cut to free himself for the run into the end zone. But man, and you know, I got a few of those T. Higgins questions this morning, Dan. We've talked about this where I would get questions with, you know, should I start T. Higgins or someone who's like way below T. Higgins, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, right, or Alan Lazard. Like, no, man, start T. Higgins. He's great. And I got a couple of those, and I sort of gave it the indignant, you got to start T. Higgins every week. And those people don't have to worry about it now because they're not in the playoffs anymore.
That's right. You won't be hearing from him next week. Don't worry about it. Yeah, no, but he had been great. He really had been. And, you know, just a terrible game from the offense. It was a conservative game for, you know, everyone all around, but just nobody could get anything going. But again, if you did make it, you're starting Chase and you're starting Higgins next week.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, I'm as well. But hopefully all those people will not be mad at us when they ask us our start sit questions coming in. Again, monitor, obviously, the Mixon injury. For the Broncos, Teddy Bridgewater, of course, carted off in the concussion protocol, I believe, which, again, he had one earlier in the year as well. So that's something to monitor. Javonte Williams, 15 for 72 on the ground, 4 catches on 4 targets for 9 yards. Melvin Gordon, 15 for 53 on the ground, just 1 catch for 8 yards. Do you feel any differently after this game, Pat, about the running backs for the Broncos than you did prior to the game?
Nope. The old, same old 50-50 split. We're going to see it all the way through to the end, I guess.
Yep. This is where we are headed. This is what I thought would happen. I think it took an injury to Melvin Gordon to make Javonte Williams a star, which we saw for the one game, and that's pretty much it. For the passing game, you know, I will talk about it. Albert O., 3 for 58, Noah Fant, 5 for 57. Tim Patrick does catch the touchdown, 3 for 42. Jerry Jeudy, Pat, we talked about it last week. I was like, Pat, who do we still start from this passing game? And you were like, I guess Jeudy, probably. No catches in this one. Cortland Sutton, entirely irrelevant. Pat, here it is, one more time for the Broncos. And again, maybe it depends on Bridgewater, but will you start any Broncos wide receiver next week?
No. And like, even if it's, well, it's going to be Drew Lock presumably. And Lock feels much more comfortable throwing to the Denver tight ends. And, today, Dan, for the Denver tight ends, Fant and, Aquabenum, 10 targets, 8 catches, 115 yards. Sutton and Jeudy, 11 targets, 2 catches, 12 yards. Sutton had a ball go right through his hands.
I know.
Did you see that one?
Yes.
I mean, Teddy put it like right there. And somehow it was like he never saw the ball coming.
Yes.
Like he just didn't even react to it.
I know. It sailed right through his hands. I know. I don't understand. I know. But you're not starting. Nobody was starting Cortland Sutton, at least. So we can. I think we had him in like the low 50s or the 60s or something. So certainly that's not on us if you started Cortland Sutton.
And of course, Dan, in a game where Sutton and Jeudy tank so spectacularly, Tim Patrick catches a touchdown.
Yeah, of course.
And
that's how we got to roll.
Yeah.
Great. All right. 49ers 31, Falcons 13. Let's start with the Falcons, Pat, because this is the downside now when Cordero Patterson has morphed into the pure running back role without getting the targets here. 11 carries, just 18 yards on the ground and just 2 targets. Catch both of them, but for 5 yards. But Detroit's on tap, Pat. So I assume even with any concerns about that, you're just going to fire him up, no questions asked, right?
Yeah, he's going to be a running back one. And boy, we thought like he was going to make his day early on. We thought he scored a touchdown right off the bats, but disallowed. And then just nothing the rest of the day. So really frustrating if you are a Patterson stakeholder.
Yeah, that was a rough reversal. Russell Gage, Pat, again. I mean, you called it last week. You were like, nah, man, I'm totally comfortable with this at this point. 11 targets, 8 catches, 91 yards with the touchdown. Kyle Pitts also comes through, you know, 4 catches, 77 yards. So I feel like, Pat, I mean, Gage, I feel like I'm not giving him the credit he deserves. I'm looking at our weekly rankings. And yeah, we all, I mean, look, I had him 37. So did Joe. You had him 35. I feel like maybe we need to move him up even next week when he plays, don't you think?
I think so. Just with the targets so concentrated now, I think Tajay Sharp got hurt today.
He did get hurt, yes.
One fewer wide receiver target. And like we had talked about this, and I specifically mentioned there were times where it looked like Matt Ryan just had nowhere to go with the ball, like suggesting that maybe Gage wasn't the best route runner. And I don't know if that's his strength, but man, he was really good at the catch point today. He made his touchdown and another long catch later were both where he went up with Ambry Thomas. Was trailing him, and he just went up high, picked it over Thomas's shoulder, did that twice. Yeah, he just looked really good. Took another, like a hard shot on a catch he had near the goal line and, you know, was kind of limping when he got up, but toughed it out and was fine. Like, he's been a gamer lately. And, you know, I'm no longer so spooked by those two shutouts he had earlier in the season. That's what, like, he was having some usable games and then he'd have like these shutouts out of nowhere. But I don't think we're going to get any more of the shutouts. Like he's too important in this offense now at this point.
Circle of trust. That's where he's at right now. I agree completely. I think you fire him up. By the way, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans have now both been downgraded to out for the remainder of the game. It's 6-0, Pat, in this game that you're missing right now. So I really hope Brady sneaks a couple just so I could survive in a matchup. But if not, it's fine. Live by the 49-year-old, die by the 49-year-old. 49ers, Pat, we talked about already Jeff Wilson. Debo, again, scores the rushing touchdown, 6 for 29. He also finally does chip in as a receiver, 5 targets, 4 catches, 60 yards. George Kittle just... I love watching George Kittle play football, man. Like, it's just awesome. 6 targets, catches all of them, 93 yards. Brandon Ayuk, 2 targets only, catches one of them, 36 yards. He did score the touchdown last week. He'd seen at least 6 targets in 4 straight games. So just a blip here for Ayuk, Pat.
Just when we thought we could trust him again, Dan. Like, this week was, I think, the highest I had him ranked probably since week 1 or 2. You know, I finally had him, like, around, what, wide receiver 20?
You had 21. I had him 20. 21. So, okay. Beat you in the negative, yeah.
And then he gets out-targeted 6-2 by Juwan Jennings. Yeah. So that's really frustrating. And we said we wanted to see Debo catch more passes and be used as a receiver again. And it happened today, and it seemingly happened at Ayuk's expense. But it was a pretty run-friendly game script for San Francisco. They didn't need to throw a lot. So I guess I'm still trusting Ayuk as maybe a low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's because there's nobody that's that reliable when you get to that point anyway, Pat. Like, that is the thing. I mean, we're talking about Amari Cooper right now, right? Like, it's not like you feel great starting Amari Cooper anyway when you're there. Last game here.
Oh, guys, sorry. I was just going to mention, and he will be going up against that defense, the Tennessee defense that we mentioned earlier.
Correct.
Has given up more receiving yards to wide receivers than any other team.
Absolutely. Packers 31, Ravens 30. Tyler Huntley, league winner, 215 yards passing with 2 touchdowns, 13 carries, 73 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. I mean, I assume Lamar Jackson will be back, but if not, are you comfortable just starting Huntley at this point?
I don't know about that. Yeah, maybe. Like, he's would probably be around quarterback 14 or 15, I suspect.
Yeah. They've got Cincinnati next, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the Packers just did a really bad job of like hemming him in the pocket and not letting him escape wide. Yeah. He was kind of just doing the same things to the Packers over and over again, which was basically throwing to Mark Andrews and scrambling out of the pocket for yardage. And the Packers just kind of couldn't stop it.
Yep.
Like, he'd definitely be under consideration if, you know, I was had someone like Kirk Cousins or Taysom Hill as my other quarterback.
Yeah. In the backfield, by the way, I kind of felt comfortable with Freeman thought that it was just going to be him. And then Latavius Murray is basically splitting here. 7 for 48. Murray looked good too, plus a catch for 3 yards. Devonta Freeman just 6 for 22. One target, one catch, 2 yards. I don't know, Pat. I guess you can't trust Freeman at all going forward. I thought he was kind of just in this like low-end RB2 guy who I put in my lineup, right?
Yeah, he had been, his value had been very consistent, and Baltimore really threw us a changeup with him this week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard to trust him for week 16.
Yeah, really, really just obnoxious. Mark Andrews, awesome. 13 targets, 10 catches, 136 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Hollywood Brown sees 14 targets, catches 10 of them for just 43 yards. And even without Sammy Watkins, Rashad Bateman, just 2 targets, 1 catch, 5 yards. Anything to say here, Pat, about any of the pass catchers here for Baltimore?
Yeah, it was weird that I don't know if this is going to change when Lamar Jackson comes back, but like they did not have Marquise Brown running any deep routes today. It was just like these little quick outs and just hitting him repeatedly. I know part of it was when they were trying to erase a 2-score lead at the end. And that's when Brown was really racking up the short throws. Quick out. Defender closes in, makes the tackle. That happened like 5 or 6 times on those last 2 drives. So
yeah,
we want more valuable targets than that from Marquise Brown, and we didn't get him today.
For the Packers, Rodgers throws for 268 and 3 touchdowns. 1 to Devontae Adams, just 6 catches, 44 yards, but 1 to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Pat, we debated a long time whether you should start him in the league. 7 targets, 5 catches, 98 yards with the touchdown. Thoughts here on MVS?
Yeah, I think he's like a low-end wide receiver 3, high-end wide receiver 4, a guy who can be considered. There's always a dangerously low floor with him. You know, the one catch or the shutout game is always a possibility, but no Randall Cobb, so the targets are sort of polarized to Devontae and Scantling and Lazard, and I think Scantling's a better weapon than Lazard is. So. Yep. He's also like, he's by far the fastest receiver the Packers have. And we know Rodgers likes to, you know, take the arm out for a walk every now and then and throw deep downfield. And like Scantling is the guy to do it with. And if he can hit on one of those, I mean, he can make his quota, his weekly quota with one play. And you got to like those guys. He's a nice guy to have. I mean, the league we're talking about that I rolled him out in was the Scott Fishbowl, where I'm trying to get into the conference finals, I have to be one of the top 10 scorers out of 26 teams. I don't mind, like, when I need to land a haymaker, like, that's a pretty good guy to go with.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it was, I liked him, Pat. He could have had a bigger game too, because Rodgers kind of underthrew him on a deep ball one where he had to hold up a little bit. But yeah, fantastic performance here. The running game, Aaron Jones, 13 for 58. He does catch 2 passes for 12 yards with a touchdown. AJ Dillon also finds the end zone here. 7 for 22 plus 1 catch for 13 yards. General thoughts here. I was a little worried, Pat, just figured they'd split. Obviously a tough matchup. They both wind up coming through for their fantasy managers, but general thoughts on the Green Bay running backs.
Yeah. I mean, this time Dillon got the short yardage touchdown. Jones had been kind of more the short yardage back this season. It's a little unpredictable here. I mean, I think Dillon is kind of safe to regard him as a high-end running back 3, maybe a guy who's going to be an option for you, but you know, might sort of be on the borderline of start and sit. And Jones is probably a guy you should just roll out because he gets into the end zone. Yeah, he's not going to have a full workhorse load to himself, but he's pretty bursty, and he is shown a capacity for scoring touchdowns over the last several years. I think he's demonstrated he's pretty good at doing that. So I think you're starting him every week unconditionally.
I'm with you. All right. 2 weeks left, Pat. That is it. Thanks to Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GridIron to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Thanks also to Pristine Auction. Just go to pristineauction.com. See for yourself, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And if you want $5 in free credits, use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up. You will know we sent you that way. And finally, thanks to AirMedCare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/FANTASYPROS. Use offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you're at in the game of life, an AirMedCare Network membership is the protection you shouldn't live without. We're going to be back tomorrow on our Waiver Wire show. I will be there with Yates and Joe, so make sure you tune into that. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your football Monday and Tuesday. Pat and I will be back together as usual next Sunday night.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.